Great. How many of you are excited today? It's the long weekend. How many of you love long weekend? Okay, so many, some of you really enjoy long weekend. I do. I really enjoy long weekends. It's fun. Fun to be together as God's people. I have to tell you that, I've got to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? Just got to do this. My brother lives in British Columbia. Anybody know where that is? It's one of our provinces in Canada. And when we arrived to his home, it was an amazing thing. He had a bowl of cherries sitting on the table in his kitchen. And it wasn't long before I noticed there was a big bucket of cherries sitting in the sink. And then he said to me, "Would you like a piece of cherry pie, or would you like some cherry cobbler?" And I began. There was a theme going on in his home, and it was the theme of, "What do you think?" Well, that's a good. You guys got it. But I said to him, "I said, what's your obsession with cherries?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know, we live in BC, and they had a nice, beautiful home, and they had a cherry orchard." And it was kind of cute. He said, "You got to come and see my cherry orchard." So he takes us out into the kind of the backwoods of his place, and sure enough, here's this beautiful orchard. Have you ever seen an orchard? Anybody? They're kind of neat. I've never seen an orchard until I saw his, and all these cherry trees, and they're just full of cherries. It was the most amazing thing. And so anyway, he says, "You can just pick those right off the tree and eat them." And I said, "No. No, not me, man. No. He said, "No, really, seriously." So he picks one off and he's chewing it, and you know, Joan's chewing one, my wife and my kids are chewing them, and everybody's chewing these cherries except little me, okay? I pick a cherry off the tree and I'm studying it. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just checking. I don't trust you, you know?" He said, "No, listen, there will be a little hole. If there's a worm in your cherry, there'll be a little tiny hole. You know, guaranteed, we throw those ones away." I said, "Okay, well, this is good. I mean, I'm laughing then, you know?" And I said, "I know my brother. He's 6 years older than me, okay?" So I kind of creased it open, bit it, and opened it. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm checking." He said, "Checking for what? I just told you they're fine. Unless there's a little hole, they're perfectly fine. You had the most, you had the plumpest, greatest cherry there was." So I opened it up, and I'm studying it very carefully, and everybody's making fun of me. You know, they say, "These aren't raspberries, all right?" There were two worms in my cherry. Two. He said, "Well, that just doesn't happen, you know?" I said, "Well," I pulled another one off the tree, I cracked that open. Another worm. "Okay, now that's just luck," he says. "Yeah, luck." I pull another one. Worm. Another one. Worm. Everybody's checking their cherries. Worms in the cherries. Funny, we never ever got cherry pie. We never got cherry cobbler. And in fact, the cherries were removed from the table, including the tub of cherries, were gone. What happened? See, my brother, as great as he was, fruit looked so delicious. He needed to learn the proper procedure in order to get better fruit. I asked him, I said, "Have you ever sprayed these trees?" "For what?" "Worms." But fruit's like that. You can take something that looks so red and juicy, it looks delicious, and it can be infested by worms. You know, I have to laugh at that, because my brother learned the proper procedure from little old me. And boy, did it bug him. Oh, sorry for the pun. You didn't catch it, did you? No. I want to introduce you to a series which examines the fruit of the Spirit and proper procedure in order for us to get better fruit. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and so we began by examining the Acts of the Apostles, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Great passage, one of my favorites. But I need to tell you, as an aside, I have to tell you that this, I had a whole series on stress prepared. But the Lord stopped me in my tracks and asked that I would take a different train, so we need to look at the fruit of the Spirit. It caused me much stress over the drastic shift. But nonetheless, I learned a lot, so I can actually do the series. But turn, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. And I'm going to read through Galatians 5, 19 to 26. And I hope you enjoy this passage, because it's a great passage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Oh, a great passage. We're going to analyze our life in the Spirit today. As we analyze our life in the Spirit, there's a few things, a few questions that we need to ask so we can analyze who we are, our spirit. First of all, what kind of spirit do I have? What kind of spirit do I have? I look at this passage, and it's a powerful, convicting passage, because in Galatians chapter 5, Paul contrasts two different kinds of people, basically two different kinds of spirits. He talks about people who live under the flesh, and he talks about people who live under the Spirit of God. And they're so different. This is truly a black and white picture here. It's black and white. It's not gray at all. That's what I love about this passage. Let's start with verse 19. I want to read to you from the Contemporary English Version. Now listen to this. People's desires make them give in to immoral ways, filthy thoughts, and shameful deeds. They worship idols, practice witchcraft, hate others, and are hard to get along with. People become jealous, angry, and selfish. They not only argue and cause trouble, but they are envious. They get drunk, carry on at wild parties, do evil things as well. Now, Paul says something, get this, Paul says something that you probably ought to take note. He goes on, he says, I told you before, and I'm telling you again, no one who does these things will share in the blessings of God's kingdom. No one. Now, that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? This is the first spirit, the first person draws us away from God. That's what Paul's concerned. I consider that a black and white statement. If we just stop there, we would know nothing except the kind of behavior that is self-seeking. It's like this quote I found. I love it. Now pay attention, all right? It seems we learn more and more about less and less until finally we know everything about nothing. Don't you just love how deep I get? I mean, you know, if we stop there in this passage, we would definitely know more, but alas, we would not know enough. He goes on to verse 22, where we're going to dwell, the fruit of the Spirit. He says, again, the CEV, God's Spirit makes us loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. There is no law against behaving in any of these ways. And because we belong to Christ Jesus, we have killed our selfish feelings and desires. God's Spirit has given us life, and so we should follow the Spirit. But don't be conceited or make others jealous by claiming to be better than they are. You see, this second person, the second spirit, draws you toward God, draws you toward Him. What kind of spirit do I have? That's the question. What kind of spirit do I have? Do I have the spirit of personal desire or the fruit of the Spirit? Do I have the spirit that looks after my own needs, my own self, and what I think is right? Do I have the fruit of the Spirit? See, in verse 22, when Paul talks about being loving, happy, and peaceful, and patient, and kind, and good, and faithful, and gentle, and self-controlled, he's talking about 9 qualities involved in the fruit of the Spirit. What he's not talking about is 9 fruits of the Spirit. And we get caught up there. It's all the fruit of the Spirit. It just happens to be different quality of fruit. How many here have ever gone shopping? Come on. You ever been shopping, ever? Some of you haven't. You live a deprived life. Talk to somebody who had their hand up, all right? Okay, let me clarify. How many of you have ever gone shopping for groceries? Okay. How about produce? Okay, I noticed most of you hubbies, you were looking around going, what's produce? You know. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. But have you ever taken note of people? You know, just kind of watch them in the produce section. You know, they get the grapes. They hold them up to the light. They look at them. I always wonder what they were trying to do when they did that, you know? Still do. They get a plum and they squeeze it, you know, and then they put it back and you pick it up, you know? They polish apples. They're inspecting oranges. They're picking fruit. That's what they're doing. I figured this out on my own. Such amazing stuff I come up with. It's hard to bear. I watch and I learn from my wife, Joan. Does this. It's great. Now, when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he doesn't say that there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. Where you and I treat the fruits of the Spirit like we go to the supermarket and pick produce. We pick it up and we say, you know, I think I like joy. I think I'm going to feature joy. I'm going to major on that in my life. You know? Can't do that. Sorry. See, it's very possible to have a lot of joy in your life and not be faithful at all. It is. It's very, very possible to have gentleness in your life and be totally lack faithfulness. And Paul doesn't want us to go around picking our fruit. He wants us to become quality Christians who are well-rounded and not lopsided. He wants us to have all of the fruit within our lives so that we can be appealing and attractive to the world. You see, if we think of fruit and not fruits, 3 things happen. When we think of fruit, not fruits, we remove the freedom to pick and choose. See, no longer am I going to pick and choose which one of these fruits to really work on. Because the tendency would be for us to just go to the things that I do this well, this is natural for me, and we ignore the other stuff. Secondly, we remove the temptation to prioritize these qualities. Okay, we can't say that one fruit is more important, or one quality is more important than the other, and think that the one that we have happens to be the most important of all. And thirdly, we see them related and essential for our lives, if they're fruit. We see them related and essential for our lives, so we begin to strive for them. We look towards them. What kind of spirit do I have? Are you picking the fruit, or are you concentrating on your own desired fruits? The question only you can answer. I can't answer it for you. Only you can. Well, as we continue on analyzing our life in the Spirit, what kind of spirit do I have, and what is the root of the fruit? If you didn't know it, that rhymes. What's the root of the fruit? A piece of fruit, it starts like putting that little seed in. I remember we used to eat oranges, and we'd get a little seed, you know, like little seeds. And I used to say to my dad, I got an orange seed. He said, lucky you, go plant it. And we would. We plant these little seeds outside, you know. Watermelon. You eat watermelon outside, so you can go in hopes that there'll be a watermelon tree sometime. But a fruit needs a root. the fruit of this of the Holy Spirit, it has a root, the root being God himself. And I went through and I looked at the 9 different qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. Next to them, the character of God. Every one of the qualities that you can see, you look at, you see God himself owns. He is patient. He's kind. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. Right on down the list. They're all God. Now, here's where the problem comes in. We make this connection between God's character and the characteristics that we are supposed to maintain. There's a tendency for us to become overwhelmed. We look at this, we begin to say, I can't achieve that. There's a tendency. If we're not careful, we become frustrated with, and to the point where we say, well, yeah, that's the character of God, but I mean, who am I? I know what I don't do well, and I certainly see my frailty, my weakness, my shortcoming. I can't measure up to this. Listen, I get this down. It's a story. God's not looking at us like this little kid who had a hen. Okay? You listening? The little kid had a hen. Kid was disappointed that the eggs that the hen were laying weren't as big as he wanted them to be. So he went to an ostrich farm, and he got a big egg, and he came back just to kind of motivate that little hen, you know. Here you go. Stuck it in front of that little hen, and he said, do the best you can, you know. Big ostrich egg. You know, kind of go for it, you know. It's like Reggie McNeil says in his book, The Present Future, he says, in American business, we tend to hire people for their strengths and then beat them up for what they're not good at. I would venture to say that the church isn't far behind that statement. When Paul gives us the fruit of the Spirit, God doesn't come back to us with a big egg and tells us, wait a minute, you better do the best you can. He's not giving us something that we cannot achieve or that we cannot accomplish or that we cannot arrive at. The reason I know that is because if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, there's a command in Scripture for each of us to obtain this quality, the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that neat? I love this. The area of love. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love our neighbors ourselves. In the area of joy, we're to rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Okay, thank you. And you know, if you go on, we're for peace, we're to seek and pursue peace. In the area of patience, we're to be patient with everyone. So the Bible says it. There's one word in that phrase that bugs me. Do you guess it? One word that bothers me? Bothers you too. I know it does. Be patient with everyone. We're to clothe ourselves with kindness. We're to do good to all people. It's a word in there that bothers me. Bothers you too. Be faithful even to point to death. We're to show true humility toward all men. Oh. See, the fruit of the Spirit is a life quality that isn't turned on and turned off like a light switch. It's about living life in tune with the Spirit. Can I tell you a story? I've just got to. Thank you, Drew. Captain's voice came over the PA system of the airplane. He said, there's no cause for alarm, but we felt you passengers should know that for the last 3 hours we've been flying without the benefit of radio, compass, radar, or navigational beam. Due to the breakdown of some components. This means that we are, in the broad sense of the word, lost and are not sure the direction we're heading. But you'll be glad to know, on the brighter side of the picture, that we're making excellent time. People of God, I happen to believe that this is exactly how many people are living their lives. They don't know the direction they're heading in life, but they're making excellent time. Because life has never been so busy for all of us. Take time to eat the fruit. Take time to pick at the root. Every one of us shows all 9 qualities of the fruit of the Spirit at times. The issue is not, am I patient at times? It's not, am I gentle at times? Am I good at times? Am I loving at times? Do I have joy at times? Those aren't the issues. We all can say yes to that. But it's a standard of living continually. The fruit's connected to the Father. Such a wonderful connection. What a great root. What kind of spirit do I desire? The kind that is connected to the Heavenly Father. Of continually analyze our life in the Spirit. Of course, we ask, what kind of spirit do I have? What is the root of the fruit? And thirdly, what's the result of the fruit? We all like results. We're result-oriented people. We like results. I want to tell you that the result of the fruit of the Spirit, the result is two things. One, the divine inner workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's impossible for you and for me to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life unless there's a divine inner working of the Spirit here. It's impossible for me to achieve these qualities on my own. I can't do this. I can't. He can. Secondly, our human response result, our human response of obedience. We it's twofold. We need God working in our lives, and then we have a desire to obey and want these qualities within our life. It's to be, in fact, I want you to take your Bibles. Take your Bibles. Or write down the nine qualities. I don't care either. And look at these. Just let's go through these. Just look through them. And remember, I always say that a clean Bible is a sign of a sick mind. Oh, thank you. You guys are with it. Oh man, you listen. Okay, we're gonna go through these fruits. And I want you, if you're having an issue with this, take your Bible. And you're saying, hey man, I got you circle it, just circle it. Or if you're kind of like you're okay with it or whatever, put a one or a two. Or if you're great with it, don't even circle it. Don't even put anything by it. But like, let's go through these. Love, how are you doing? Now it's that easy. Just look at it. If it's easy for you, don't circle it or write down a one or two. Okay, you wait till the ones that you have issues with. All right. If it's very difficult, you circle it or you write down a five if it's hard for you. Okay, and if you look at joy, how do you do in that area? Right? Just take, figure it out. How about peace? Peace. How are you with peace? How about patience? Patience. I saw some of you wives, doing this to your hubbies. I'll score that for you, sir. Don't worry about it, sir. No. Kindness. How are you doing with that? How about goodness? How about faithfulness? How about gentleness? And how about self-control? Now you're thinking, wait a minute, Seegers. We had to go through it. I went through this. I've done this. Did the same thing you just did. When I prepared this, I did it. And I can tell you that in my scoring, I went through the broad range of numbers, all right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I did that. And where the ones that I put a one, or circle, the ones that I didn't touch, those were easy for me. They just come. I happen to believe, it's funny. You happen to think, well, those are the premier qualities of the fruit. Isn't that? That's just like that. You think, well, these are the good ones, the ones that I have. That's human. I have some I put down a 5-4. Now, I got to tell you, you're going to enjoy this because over the next several weeks, we're gonna take time to go through the fruit and note how we're doing. What results do I show? We're going to have fun with it. I hope you're ready. This is where I need to do my part. What's my part? I need to, first of all, understand where I'm strong and where I'm weak. All right? We just did that. It's like the guy who prayed this prayer. He says, so far today, Lord, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few moments, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. From then on, I'm going to need a lot of help. Amen to that prayer. Ooh. You need to understand where we're strong, where we're weak. Second, we need to become accountable in our weak areas. Those areas where I especially had a 5 or 4, I have to perhaps sit down with my spouse or like my wife or some friend. Just become accountable in these areas that you're struggling with. I think it's especially good to become accountable to someone who's strong in the areas where we are weak. Thirdly, strive for consistency in my weak areas. Have to be consistent, right? Fourthly, talk to others who are strong in my weak areas. Go find people who are, you notice them and you say, man, they've got that. I wish I had that. Listen, draw from their strength. I got to tell you something else. I can go to God because God does his part. My part is all those things. I can ask God to do the following things in developing the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. This is still my part, but I can do this. I can come to him and I can ask. I can say, Lord, minister to me in my weak areas. God, as I begin to work on and pray about the areas of my weaknesses, would you just minister to me in these areas? Okay, and then you can also say, God, give me wisdom on how I can improve. Because James says, if we lack wisdom, we should ask God. He'll give it to us liberally. Ask God for wisdom on how to improve. Thirdly, I can ask God to reveal my progress. Now, I love this one. Because the Holy Spirit is a reminder, a comforter, an exhorter in our lives. So ask him, God, as I begin to work on this area where I'm weak in my life, reveal to me how well I'm doing. And he does. That's the amazing thing. Fourthly, make up the difference when I do my best. That's a good prayer to pray. Say, God, as I work through these areas of my life, would you just make up the difference for me? See, the fruit of the Spirit's divine. God can come and he can give you divine encouragement and strength in areas where you have been weak for even years. I hope you're looking forward to our journey together and picking of the fruit. But I want us to do it together. Because this pleases God when we strive to be more like Christ. The fruit does that. Causes us to be more like him. Are you picking the fruit? Or concentrating on your own desired choice of fruits? Only you can answer the question. Let's pray. Today, as you're coming to God and you've got your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe there's an area of your life where you are struggling with part of the fruit, quality of fruit that you're just really having a hard time with. And you know that you need to even tell God about it right now. Say, God, I'm really struggling with loving my neighbors myself. I'm really struggling with that whole area of loving. Maybe he's, God, I really find it hard to rejoice in you always. Because some days are really hard, or maybe for you it's patience, being patient with people. Maybe it's even self-control in who you are. I'm not sure. But I tell you, God knows you better than anyone. Come to him. Say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your help. Reveal my progress as I deal with these weak areas. If you're coming to God that way, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just talk to him and speak to him. Take time to be with him. Maybe you need to say, Spirit of God, just descend upon my heart. Descend upon my heart. Lord, just wean it from all the earthly things that I'm allowing to consume me. Even the thoughts. Maybe you need to just talk to him about that. Maybe today, the real way you hear how God is, and you know that you should confess your sin to him and say, Lord, I just want you to forgive me. I give you my life today to do whatever you want with. That's a hard prayer, but that's what being a Christian's all about. And you've heard it maybe from your friend or from your neighbor, somebody even in this church is telling you, you need to accept Jesus. You need to accept him. You need to give your life to him. Give your life away to him. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you want to say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I give you my life today. I just want to be a Christian. Just lift your head up. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just lift your head up. Just lift your head. Lord bless you. Just lift your head. Lord bless you. Father, today, we just want to thank you for the fruit. Lord, for these qualities, they're so intimidating at times, God. But we know that it's a standard of our living. It's part of being who we need to be so that the world would know you. Lord, empower us, shape us, Make us into the people that we're supposed to be. Thank you for loving us, God, even when we're weak. Thank you for caring for us, for giving us your strength when we call on you. God, we need your strength. We need you. Descend upon us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You've been beautiful to minister to.